Off top, as we get closer to the Super Bowl, I bet you don't know why we call it the Super Bowl. Well, the super part, obvious, it's because it's big and grand and super. But the bowl part is because the Rose Bowl, the first bowl game of them all, was played in Rose Bowl Stadium in Pasadena, California. Started out as a, I think, an East-West competition game. Eventually, in the 30s, they started calling it or naming the Rose Bowl game after the stadium that they were playing in because it was shaped like a bowl. And then everybody else just copied and started calling their game a bowl. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
I didn't have much energy for that one. It's like it's kind of interesting, but it was kind of a letdown when I looked it up because I'd always kind of wondered, but never decided to look it up until this morning. And it was a little disappointing. Like, I don't know. I thought it was gonna be some cool long story. It's like, nah, stadium shaped like a bowl. We call it a bowl, and everybody else bit.
I kind of like it though, because I've named like crappy touch football games with my cousins bowls. So at least I had the same thought process as some random dude in the
Turkey
1930s.
Bowl. Yeah, good weekend, a fun weekend of football. I feel like the first thing I want to do is let's just appreciate Patrick Mahomes' first drive. Like that was that I was trying to re remember all the cool pl plays in that drive, and I think my favorite play in that opening drive was not even the most impressive. It was the sidearm RPO pass that he just held the pose. It just was so damn cool.
Can on that same thing, can we take a moment? Because obviously Mahomes, he got the full like heroic, we're going to, build a statue of Patrick Mahomes throwing a touchdown pass on his left leg, hopping, that type of thing. We know that'll happen. But also a second for Travis Kelce from that game. And we'll get into
Yes,
all
sir.
these games, but he had more receptions than the rest of the Chiefs combined. And it was like Mahomes is compromised. And that dude just decided, oh no, I can be like the best receiver on planet Earth at, and a safety valve at the same time for this team.
Yeah, I mean, it just exposed the thing that the Achilles heel, if you can say the offense of the Chiefs has one. It kind of exposed that for me. The stat that you pointed out that he had more than everyone else when the Jaguars actually did start to try to crowd the middle field a little bit right out of halftime. It was obvious that they just don't have anybody else. Like nobody
Yeah.
else. Quick passes outside. To Tony, like he did some impressive things, but he wasn't like getting open down the field. Same for MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster. I know they're the best offense in the league by efficiency and scoring too. I think I understand all that. Patrick Mahomes is really great, but they need somebody at some point. They're going to need to go after a real legitimate number one threat because it seemed to like they're compromised so often. And I'm sorry to rotate from talking about how great Travis Kelce was and also how amazing that jump pass was, to talking about the Chiefs' shortcomings after they had a big win. But that just kept hovering over this game to me. And it's probably a bit because it's something that I said would be a problem early in the season. So I'm looking to like, to support my own belief, but it just, I don't know. It's nobody over there is scary except for Travis Kelce.
No, I mean that's like I'm actually totally with you. Like watching that Chiefs offense, to me, what jumped out is like Pacheco is obviously an explosive athlete, so is Kadarius Toney, but they aren't like precise operators yet within that offense. So they aren't creating the space before they get the ball. Like they're just trying to get Kadarius the ball and be like, all right, now make something crazy
Right.
happen. And he can occasionally do that because he's a freak, but like that's a very big change from when they were the Legion of Zoom and they had guys who you could not blink and they would be gone.
Yeah, it seems like the other teams, particularly the teams that are remaining, have at least one guy. Obviously, the Bengals have a couple guys in T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase that you have to be concerned about. The Eagles too, they have a couple of guys and
They're
AJ.
like four.
Yeah, at least receivers though. They got AJ and Devontae, and then the 49ers just have a slew of guys all over the field that could do all types of different things. And so I don't know. I guess the Chiefs will address this at some point.
I think this actually proved your theory. One of the Dominique Foxworth theories, you've had a lot of correct predictions on this pod, is that this was the year of the receiver and that it's not just having one receiver, you stack them and have two, and that's what changes your offense. I think there's one exception that proves the rule. That's Patrick Mahomes. If you have the most talented quarterback in the history of the NFL, you can probably support an offense that has less talent around him in theory. But other teams, don't try and build that.
Are we lifting Joe Burrow to Patrick Mahomes status? Is he there now? Or are we going to make the same mistake that we made last year with Josh Allen, where we kind of, I mean, I know everyone's going to pretend like they never did. And, but I was here. I remember when we all were saying Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen and everybody else, like we were all doing that at one point. And now it's clear that we're not doing that anymore, but I feel like we're in the territory where we're going to start doing the same thing with Joe Burrow. Is that fair?
I'm really glad you asked that. And I want to ask you the same question, because I think we can agree that was the biggest come up for Joe Burrow and the worst loss for the Bills. And we should go through all of that. But to me, he's clearly 1B now above Josh Allen. And I don't think that's reactive. I think that's over 12 months of evidence, like minus the three games coming back from appendicitis. That dude is just nails in every big situation. And like, no, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He can't do like the freakish things that change the geometry of football, where like, you know, Patrick Mahomes gets the Steph Curry comparisons because there's just, you have to play him completely differently. But he is like a perfect traditional quarterback. And that might be selling him short because his pocket mobility and the way he plays like a really modern quarterback. But like, the dude seems to always make the right decision. The higher leverage situation, he seems to always play better. So I don't know if you can say like, he's Mahomes, but you can definitely say he's number two now.
I think so. I don't think you're getting much pushback there, particularly how Allen's been playing lately. But we'll bring some structure to this podcast later with some questions or whatever. But I do, for now, just want to like meander around the playoffs a little bit and stick with Burrow for another second. Is another thing that I like to kind of talk about, and I think become more the conversation of the game, like the psychology of the game. It's impossible to measure right now. I don't know if we'll ever figure out how to measure it, but when people talk about momentum, that's the way that I can think of it, so that it makes sense. Is like, momentum is more just about like, all right, we're feeling good now, and maybe players play a little better when they're feeling good. But when it comes to Joe Burrow, there is a value to his cool. I don't give a shit what anybody says. Like, absolutely, there is a value to that can't necessarily be measured. And honestly, like, if I want to tell the story of this game, it's not necessarily about Joe Burrow in particular. Like, it's more about the offensive line running the ball well, honestly, and the Bengals going to Buffalo and playing the type of football that you have to play in Buffalo. And this is another kind of tangent to go off on, is this is where the analytics guys are wrong and like the stat nerds are wrong. Is like, and I'm partial to stat nerds, but, and again, this ties into the psychology of the game, is running the ball matters. It matters physically, not just psychologically, but it matters physically when you're on and when you're in inclement weather or you're on a slippery surface. And also it matters when to give people breaks. And we talk about finding ways to take pressure off your quarterback and give him a couple plays here and there where he doesn't have to feel stress. Running the ball is doing the same thing for your offensive line, where they don't have to, and it's doing the same thing for your quarterback. And I think that was really the story of the game. When I look back at that game, there weren't like big, incredible, game-changing offensive plays from the Bengals. It was just like methodical.
That I wanted to ask you about that, because they're missing three offensive linemen. And the Bills defense at home in the snow, this team that was on track to be the number one seed, we compared them to the greatest show on I'm going to say it. They looked soft playing the Bengals offensive line. That entire defense, they got mauled. And like, part of the stuff with the offensive line and the running game, I'm sure, I mean, I knew this through Pop Warner football, and I'm sure it's the same through college. Like, offensive linemen are taught to enjoy run blocking. That's when you get to maul and you get to have fun. It's almost like you got to pass the center of the ball at a basketball game so that they run the floor hard. And like, I actually felt that with the Bengals. It's like, all right, we got some backups in here. Let's pound it down their throat and show them that you're tougher. And the, like the offensive line coalesced around that. When you have the, like the Pied Piper, like Burrow, that has to matter. It has to.
I can't imagine that playing offensive line in like modern NFL is all that fun. Cause like we all play sports because it's fun, but no one's at home like doing phantom kick slides in their basement because they love offensive line play. Like even my son, who like we haven't let him play tackle football, we're going to push that off for quite some time, but like he wants to like tackle pillows or like run through pillows. Like it's not all about catching passes or touchdowns or interceptions. Like the physicality of the game is also attractive to all of us and we enjoy, but nobody wants to catch. Like nobody wants to kick slide and catch. Like no one's practiced that. We're not highlighting those blocks. It's not fun. It sucks. And I don't know. I mean, I they get paid a lot, so that's one reason. But other than that, like, do they ever have fun? If you're running the ball, like that feels like when I talk to Jeff or talk to any offensive lineman, they care about getting to run somebody over. And frankly, I don't know, Christina, it's up to you if you beep this out or not, but they like to drag their nuts across players. Yeah, you're definitely going to have to beep that. But that's something that they do often is laugh about how they can run over somebody and do like sexually suggestive moves on top of other grown men. They don't want to kick slide and get bull rushed or humped or take a hump move like Micah Parsons gave out this weekend.
You play offensive line, you do thousands of hang cleans and deadlifts, you eat 35 peanut butter jelly sandwiches a day to maintain your weight so that when you get to the second level, you can make a 240-pound linebacker look like a child and throw him out of the club. And I get it. That's not always the most efficient thing, but that is the only fun part about the position, starting from your when you're 8 years old, I assume all the way through the NFL. I assume that it's even more extreme at the NFL.
Yeah, I think the challenge of like holding down a big pass rusher or protecting, the challenge of that, I think, is probably attractive. And it's like afterwards, you like having blocked one of those guys, but you don't actually like Von Miller running at you.
Well, here's the example. So, and well, I promise to come back to the Bills, but like, you remember the play where Micah Parsons took McGlinchey and literally
threw that
him?
Hump move. That was the old Reggie White hump move. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I guarantee you, in McGlinchey's head, he was like, "I wish I could pull and." Effing level Micah Parsons, because I know with the head of steam that's not happening.
Yeah, it's and I was gonna like analogize it to like protecting the rim in basketball, but actually no, because you can get a big win protecting the rim in basketball. You can get like a crazy block, but like there is no like really highlight worthy way to block somebody. You just block them. You know, like
if you block a shot in a pickup basketball game, you feel like LeBron James at the end of game 7. Like, even if it's like someone just going up on a jump shot and you tip the ball, you're like, I'm the most athletic man alive. So, yes, it's not.
But like protecting your quarterback and like blocking Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
It's not like emphatic. Nothing about it is cool. Nothing about it is fun. But run blocking him and just driving him to the second level. Amazing. Plowing over him. And then, yeah, I don't know why I said Christina could choose whether to bleep it or not. Obviously, you can't say in your across somebody, but it made you laugh, so
right. It's the truth. it's the truth. It's how they convince kids. It's how they convince portly children like myself when I was at that age. This is gonna be fun. This is where your athleticism comes through.
It is true. I mean, that's the I don't know any other sports, but it's like the only sport, at least American sport, where like being a Husky fella, we like celebrate. It's probably weird for the big kids who don't like football, because everyone, it's the same thing you do for tall kids. You're like, hey, I bet you love basketball, don't you? And like a little bit of a Husky kid, you're like, hey, D-line, run stuffer. Or hey, O-line, you can plow through them. And then it's like, that's all you're capable of with your body type. That's not fair. Poor kids.
But I mean, it's really the poor kids who have that body type but don't like contact. Yeah. That's always the awkward one, because everyone plays with the kid that like that in some sport when they're a kid. And And then they just get called big for nothing. Yeah. And you're like, no, you're big for something, just not this.
All right. So the Burrow versus Mahomes conversation. I think obviously he's not going to jump Mahomes because there are some like major, hurdles. One being winning a Super Bowl, which I don't necessarily think we should.
Well, that's the question. Because if he beats Mahomes next week, that's five times in a row beating Patrick Mahomes. That's crazy. And then he'll be in the Super Bowl for the second straight year. And, you know, it's a one game sample. No one would be shocked if they won that game. Then it becomes a conversation just based on results.
Right.
It has to.
I mean, and he had the big comeback against Patrick Mahomes, except the thing is, when you go back and look at his biggest moments, he's been very good in those moments, but he doesn't have those kind of great moments like Patrick Mahomes, because like his comeback against the Chiefs last year was like littered with bad plays from him also. And it was really more a story of the Chiefs kind of blowing it. And we have like Mahomes' great comeback against Houston Texans, which was him blacking out. You have the great comeback in the Super Bowl to win, which was him throwing a ridiculous pass. You have the great loss in the Super Bowl where he's throwing amazing passes that are bouncing off people's face masks. And I think that those moments are going to stand out in our mind. He's, as unfair as it is, I think back to last year's run. And maybe I'm misremembering. You could enlighten me if you think of anything. But like, those were good games from Joe Burrow, but it never felt like it was like, damn, Joe Burrow put this team on his back the way that we feel about Patrick Mahomes.
The thing is, though, he's rapidly evolving.
Yeah.
Like, he's a much better football player year coming back than he was last year. And so, you know, if he lights it up, even the throw that didn't count yesterday to the back of the end zone to Chase, like that was a dime and an absurd catch. Like, we might see some ridiculous highlights from those receivers and Burrow escaping the pocket against the Chiefs. That could definitely change it. Like, I'm not willing to write it off, but it'll actually take a heroic performance for me to reevaluate, you know, the quarterback hierarchy. Cause it doesn't happen as much as you think. Like, it was decades of Peyton and Brady and then a slight tier down Breeze. And now we have this new tier of guys, and to upset the apple cart, it's not just like, it won't just happen by winning. He's going to have to be the guy. He's in a guy. If he's the guy, then we can reevaluate.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right. So I had a question that I wanted to like talk about with you is like who had the worst loss of the weekend. And I think we can quickly narrow it down to Bills or Cowboys. Lean more to the Bills because they had home field advantage. They came in as big favorites. It's demoralizing. But honestly, like I feel the Cowboys were not favored in this game, and they were going all across the country. I think there's more reason to excuse the Cowboys' loss, but it feels more damning because this feels kind of like we're still in the early stages of the Bills' window, and the Cowboys' window, at least this coach, it kind of feels more defined also. Like, we don't know how much better Josh Allen's going to get. We don't know the talent that they can get around him. For the Cowboys, some of this feels like so set in stone. Like, Dak's not going to get better. Like, this is who Dak is. I still think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl. He's not good enough to, like, take you past the number one defense in the league.
without much support, you know, like, I mean, that's not even fair. Yeah. Like he had CD, he had Pollard for a little bit, but I think Patrick Mahomes wins that game. And
so for me, I broke it down based on worst loss for a team, worst loss for a player. For a team, it's to me, the Cowboys. And the reason I'll say that is you can't bring back the same cast. You cannot bring back McCarthy and Dak. I'm not doing we know the ceiling on this together. One of them has to split, or you can just be happy being in the divisional round for the next couple of years. Because Dak's a very good quarterback. Hovering around the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL, however you want to rank them, you know we all think he's very good. He's clearly above the average, but he could have thrown 4 interceptions in that game. They brought in Maher with them. That threw everything off kilter, and they played more aggressively. Tony Pollard broke his ankle and had a high ankle sprain, some ligament damage, and he was their best offensive player. And the thing is, Dak, if you're going to be the $50 million quarterback, which he deserves based on the market and where he is in the league, in that salary range, it's also fair for us to expect you not to be a potential 4 interception guy in that game. He only threw two. Yeah. He threw two off.
Right, yeah. I'm with you on that. I mean, that's why I'm surprised that I would say the worst loss for a team was the Bills and the worst loss for a player was Dak. Like, I feel like Dak is walking away from this, like, kind of reaffirming a lot of people's priors about him. And he had the problem that we said was the only thing that he can't do was turn it over. And he did. He tried to do it more. He just had a really bad game in a big moment again. Yeah. And that's a hard thing to overcome for him. But I feel like the Bills were Super Bowl favorites and had home field and put up 10 points. Like that's Josh Allen. You're supposed to be big, strong arm, super athlete. The snow is supposed to impact you less than it does anyone else. And I respect the idea that he didn't have anyone other than Stephon Diggs, and they didn't have a running attack all year. Like, I get all that, but which is why I'm not coming down on Josh as hard as I think, like, the criticism is going to come down on Dak. But I think as a team, yeah, this was supposed to be their year.
So they got to rebuild that team. Like, actually, they need more help. That defense and the secondary needs to get better. But the thing for me with Josh Allen is I actually, like, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, he was compared to Patrick Mahomes. And, like, now that, even with the performance last year when they lost to the Chiefs, that's insane. Because his decision-making regressed with that day ball. He, like, scoring 10 points in a home game. Like, the broadcast, and I think we're allowed to laugh about this. The broadcast continued talking about the emotional lift of DeMar Hamlin in the crowd, and they kept showing the shot of him, and you couldn't even see it because of the snow. And they're like, God, Tony Romo's like, oh, come on, Jim, just look at DeMar there. The crowd's going crazy. The Bills have to feel this.
They wanted it.
And so then bad. It was like, okay, they're feeling this. That's 3 incompletions from Josh Allen. We're going to punt and get the ball shoved down their throat. And it's, to me, it's just the standard we were holding Josh Allen to. And now there are actual questions now. Questions that I laughed at for the last year. There are questions about how good he will be in this situation.
I mean, the Bengals are a better team than them, like top to bottom. And also, like, better at quarterback too, which is one thing that I didn't think we'd be saying about anybody against Josh Allen, that somebody was just clearly better than him. And like they outcoached him too. Like, there was one third and 10 that was just a perfectly schemed response to a blitz that they got to Hayden Hurst that did like a check release and drew them into a blitz and got in flat and converted there at a pivotal time in the third quarter. Like, it just made all the right decisions. And again, they it wasn't like a fluke. It wasn't a big play here. It wasn't a big play there. When you rewatch that game, you just see that they just beat their ass like the whole game. And it's not at all what I expected. But yeah, is there any other questions you want to hit from the weekend?
So the one thing I want to ask you about is from that 49ers game, is do you think there are two things coming into their upcoming matchup? And obviously we'll get more into this on Thursday with the 49ers and Eagles, because I think that's actually a fascinating game, because you look at what the 49ers did on offense, and it's like they were super conservative in the first half. Like, you could tell, and Christina's probably gonna have to bleep this too, you could tell Shanahan's sphincter was really puckered up.
And no, tight. You can say that. We don't want to give Christina extra work. You can say that. I'm putting my foot down. You can say tight sphincter.
Well, it might have hopefully loosened a little bit in the second half when we saw them being a little bit more aggressive. But I was a little bit more worried about Purdy in that first half than I have been the rest of that. But with that said, they're playing an Eagles team, which answered every question, except for the fact that this Eagles team lost to Washington playing the exact way that the 49ers played in the second half, like running the ball that way. How do you feel about this 49ers team going into the Eagles matchup? And it's a really broad
question. The Washington game is a nice little rhetorical trick, because I remember that Washington game quite clearly. And the Eagles offense did some really like fluky things, turned over the ball a bunch of random times. I think the difference is in that game, Washington would have got their kicked if I think they had one deep pass that Jalen Hurts hit right on numbers that the receiver caught and then essentially handed it to the defensive back. There was another tip ball interception, I think, to tight end. There were like three ridiculous turnovers that were just like random things that never happened again. So I think that's what it comes down to. And I guess if you're the 49ers, you feel comfortable because you're not going to have your defense ripped apart in that way. But the challenging thing is the 49ers like to do a lot of zone, and like the RPO game and the quarterback run game are like going to be a challenge for them. They're going to have to like play above themselves, and they have the players that can do that, like not above themselves, above the scheme in some ways. And the way that Jalen Hurts looked last week, if he can maintain this level of sharpness, because it wasn't just going against that bad defense, like he was on target. Like there were tough passes to make, and he was just drilling them. So that's I'm still leaning more Eagles and 49ers, in part because I think that talent wise both of these teams are pretty comparable, but the Eagles are going to have the home game and the better quarterback, and it's going to require some serious coaching. And I also saw in the situation that as good a offensive coordinator as Kyle Shanahan is, he is not always on top of in-game management the way that you would suspect. Yeah, you would suspect for somebody who's as smart as he is. And like, I think we celebrate passing the ball just before the 2-minute warning. That was a smart decision that he made. So I'm not sure that they get the advantages there, because he's so much of his bandwidth is tied up with like designing and calling the game. So yeah, I lean Eagles for now. We'll see. And we saw again too, Kyle Shanahan is, and this is smart, but he was like protecting Purdy. And I guess if you force him to not have to protect Purdy, which the Cowboys couldn't score enough to do that, then we'll see what happens. But Purdy wants to give it away. Like he wants to do something special. He wants to be Josh Allen, and the turnovers come with Josh Allen.
It is kind of crazy, though, that he's this confident. Like, some of the throws he made in those leverage situations were lasers. Yeah. Like, and completely different than the throws early in the game when he actually looked tentative and slightly nervous. That was stunning. We keep waiting for the bottom to fall out. He's not going to let the bottom completely fall out.
The great thing about, like, not having a team, and I guess the bad thing about not having a team, is, like, I never feel really, like, sad or broken after a weekend. But I also never feel really happy. But the bad thing is I end up like rooting against both things, because like I want Jalen Hurts to win, obviously. And also like I like this Purdy story. I want it to go well. I don't want him to blow it. It's like you get stuck in a situation. The same thing is like on the other side. Like I want Patrick Mahomes to limp his way back to the Super Bowl, but Joe Cool, keep it going. Like it's a tough spot to be in, but I guess it's better than feeling like the entire city of Buffalo feels today.
And I actually think it's cool this year that we have like the four clear, in my opinion, clearly the four best teams and like playing really well right now, which is, there won't be blowouts and bad games next weekend. And maybe I'll sound like an idiot for saying that now, because the NFL is weird, but the right teams are here playing the right way.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
All right, so I want to get a rundown on the Australian Open. I also want to get into our bets. Before we get to either of those things, are there any things left from the weekend that you want to ask me about, or you want to talk about, or you want to dive into?
I think let's dive in more Thursday. And quick Aussie Open update.
Give it to me.
3 Americans in the final 8. We're back.
For the men's side?
We're back. Right. On the men's side. On the women's side, the favorite is Jessica Pegula. I mean, tough day for Bills Mafia, but the daughter of the Bills open of the Bills owner might win the Australian Open.
Congratulations. Consolation prize, Bills Mafia. I want them to go to Australia and jump through tables and tailgate and drink shots out of bowling balls outside of the Aussie Open. I would like, it'd be better at Wimbledon though. Like I feel like Australia would be comfortable with Bills level activity. I want them to go to the UK.
They would love it. The Australian Open is probably the one tennis tournament where they would encourage Bills Mafia to attend in
mass. Give me something that I need to know about the men that are left. Why should I watch them?
Okay.
And then we go on to our bets.
So boring angle for the tournament. Djokovic is playing incredibly well and probably going to win. Boo. But the good thing, there are 2 sons of American tennis players. Sebastian Korda, his dad, Peter Korda, won the Australian Open. He is American, but he doesn't play like an American player. He's got perfect strokes. He's like a basically built off of the way Djokovic plays. The other one is Ben Shelton. Last year, he won the national championship at Florida when he was 19. He is now 20. It's his first time out of the United States. He's a 6'4 lefty. And probably the best serve left in the tournament. Incredibly explosive athlete. It's his first year on tour. He's jumped from last year outside the top 500. He's now number 42 in the world after his round of 16 win. He is fun because he's like explosive, exciting, and does crazy shit on the tennis court. So
I'm watching that.
Fingers crossed he makes an even deeper
run. All right, how we do on bets, and then we go roses and thorns.
We went 1-1. We won our tees with the Eagles and the Chiefs, betting those lines down. We did not win on Dakota going over 1.5 TDs.
Man, we should have gone over 1.5 interceptions. All right, Charlie, it's been fun. Thank you very much. We'll do roses and thorns next with everyone's favorite Foxworth. He's so good.
How has Dominique been lately?
Bad or good?
Let's find out. This is Roses and Thorns.
All right, roses and thorns begins. I assume that nobody heard that call. So Ashley's been sick, had so many COVID tests that are fortunately negative, but
I love taking COVID tests. It's like one of my favorite pastimes. And honestly, I overbought them so much back when like they were like in demand that they're probably going to go bad anyway. It's how I justify overusing them. And also like, I should know if I have COVID. We live in a house with 5 people, but what I have is my daughter's cold last Friday. So like over a week ago, her older siblings had sleepovers. Remember, we told you my son had his first sleepover. It actually went fine. According to the mom, she might've been lying to make me feel good. But, and so I let my little one, my 6-year-old, I let her sleep in my bed with me. And Dominique was like playing Xbox downstairs and she was asleep. And I was looking at her. I was like, oh, this sweet little baby. and face-to-face sharing a pillow. And then she proceeded to cough in my face for like 90 seconds. She had missed school a couple days that week. She'd had this cough for a bit off and on, but just a cough. Again, tested her a lot, not COVID. And at like the 89th second of me just staring at her and seeing the spit fly like at close range to my face, I was like, you're going to be sick by Sunday. I was not sick by Sunday. I was sick Monday. But I think I've had it much worse than her because she's young. And I'm old.
It can't get me though. So I'm.
You have the best immune system. Like I lay up under you and you're fine.
I think my immune system's gotten stronger as I've gotten older.
Yeah, you are so impressive. I've been taking NyQuil that expired in 2020, which also could be, but I think it probably still works. Like it knocks me out at least for 3 hours and I just wake up in coughing fits. That's my main promise. I'm tired. $8?
I could get you.
I know. I don't like going to CVS. Remember, I thought about it the other day. I was like, I'm going to go buy new medicines. And then I was like, nah, because I also had, I threw out the 2020 NyQuil after taking it three nights and I upgraded to a 2021 expiration date one that I also had. And so I felt like that one would be fine.
Oh gosh. Oh man. And hopefully no one gets sick from listening to this. The cough is so strong. Oh, nice mug, a heart-shaped mug.
Isn't it cute?
So Valentine-y. So you got Rose. So first of all, we've had special guests, Christina and Sarah, producers. So at some point we got to bring Adi in, the last producer, to be a special guest. But before that, I'll give you a chance to shoot me a couple quick roses and thorns if you got any, Ashley. Are you texting parents right now?
Arranging carpools for later. If they knew, I put masks on in the car with the kids, but people just be desperate for their kids to get places. It's like, I'm joking. Like, I'm cautious. I put my mask on. Yes, let me stop. I do have a rose and thorn. Okay, my rose is okay. So last week, my thorn, and actually we'll revisit that, is that I was like, you don't plan romantic things for us to do on Valentine's Day or ever, in fact. Okay, and then you were like, no, I did something this year for Valentine's Day. And I was like, what? And you were like, he was like really in his feelings and I could tell. And he was like, no, this is not the time she's going to come for me. Because I ordered her some jewelry for Valentine's Day. So I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Da-da-da. To be clear though, my thorn was not, you don't give me things for Valentine's Day. Honestly, that could have been a thorn, but I really don't even care about that because I know like, I have plenty of nice things. I get plenty of nice things for myself. He gets plenty of nice things for me. Like, so anyway, I do not worry about presents. Like I get plenty of them, whatever. That was not my thorn. My thorn was you don't plan things for me. And his pushback that he ordered me something did not at all deal with my thorn, but I caved because my thorn held. Exactly. That's all I wanted to come on here and say, because part of like a marriage and compromise and being a good wife, it was me being a wonderful, gracious wife, being like, you know what, babe, I see that you're actually getting in your feelings about this right now. Thank you so much. You are so great.
A bit of an overreaction, probably because it was true. It hit close to home. I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't plan shit and I don't want to start. I hate planning stuff.
He doesn't plan stuff for us necessarily, but since last year, I don't love to travel. And like, if it were up to me for trips,
oh, I got a thorn. I got a thorn.
Again, this segment isn't on my show, so I don't accept thorns of me. Okay. So moving on with my thorn. I don't love to travel. I recognize that's so basic of me, right? Like I just am happy staying in DC, where I've been my whole life, where my family's been for generations. Like I'm not really trying to leave. I'll go like to New York. I'll go to Florida, but like, I just don't like, it would be nice to travel. Like I envision myself going on some great, like European vacation. I said I was going to do it for my 10th anniversary. We were on our patio for our 10th anniversary COVID. Because of COVID, it was 2020. And so I would like to do those things, but like, it's not like enough of a priority for me to do it. And then like our kids, like even though they're getting older now, I still like have like PTSD from all the times that like they were horrible on trips or like on airplanes or just like they can be unpredictable even still. So I'm just like, I don't want to go like pay a lot of money to go somewhere for them to ruin it. Like with, you know, whatever antics. Remember, we have a Justin Jefferson, who I think somebody can cover because his team, no one can cover him.
Oh no, in football, yes. He can be covered in life.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying there's somebody. So that analogy is not great because somebody out there sometimes.
Oh, you're saying that Justin Jefferson was covered.
What is it? Cornerbacks or something are successfully covering Justin Jefferson.
The Giants did a good job. So I'm gonna call Brian Daboll and ask him for some parenting advice.
We need tips. Thank you. We need tips.
Or I guess it was defensive coordinator. So his answer to everything is blitz a lot. So we got to rush.
Well,
as soon as Declan gets home, we're going to rush him. We just rush him as soon as he walks through the door.
He would love that, actually. Like, he loves physical contact. He would love it if we parented like that. I can't. I would get hurt.
I am fine. I've adjusted and accepted that you don't really like to travel, but I would like to present this to the jury.
No, I haven't even given my. I'm trying to give you a rose.
I know it's a long roundabout rose. Like I was just trying to before we got married, we went on a trip to Egypt, for like 10 plus days, and
I was sick by the last two.
You were, and
it was a lovely trip though.
It was misleading. And since we've been married, I think we went to Jamaica once, and
that's the only time we've used our passports.
Yeah. And that's it. Other than
we've
that,
married 13 years.
We go to Orlando, New York, California, Miami, Puerto Rico, like
high quality safari money. It's so sad.
Oh, yeah. We that's go to the most Disney frustrating World part. And it's I love Disney World. It's so frustrating is that like, yes. we spend like, South so Africa.
We can't go to South Africa or Tanzania or Paris or the Amalfi Coast after we go. Yeah,
we spend Tanzanian safari money in the Magic Kingdom, and it is so stressful. Oh gosh. Anyway,
but so his rose though. But oh, back to the Egypt point. No, I did not mislead you. I said very clearly, I don't want to go to Egypt.
That's fair.
I did. Do you remember why I went?
Yeah, you went because you were afraid that I was going to get arrested because I was going. Otherwise, I was going to go with one of my teammates who this was 2006, way before. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. I was going to say before that marijuana laws loosened up here, but it doesn't matter. Marijuana laws have never been loose in Egypt. They are not.
Well, I don't know what Egyptian laws are like, but I seen locked up abroad and I wasn't excited for you to be in an Egyptian prison because he had smuggled weed and with you were trying to buy some there.
I'm smarter than that. I wouldn't have been in no Egyptian prison. But anyway, I do remember that trip.
So that's why I went. I made that very clear.
The trip was nice, but I do remember that it was not... It wasn't a five-star trip. And I remember that we had an overnight train ride and you refused.
Two.
Yeah. On one of them, though, or was it on both of them? One of them, you refused to lay on the bed.
It was so dusty because I was coming through the desert. And it looked, I'm a germaphobe.
So you laid
the white
on
sheets
me.
On the train bed looked like tan. And it was not that they were supposed to be tan. It was
8-hour
dust.
Trip of you sleeping your entire body on top.
I did. It wasn't my entire body was on you. Thank you. You set up, I think, and my head was on you.
No. I had to lay down too. I just laid on my back.
It was a train size bed. There's supposed to be bunks, but we were on one together.
Oh man. Anyway, all right, get to your thorn because I want Adi to teach us.
No, I didn't get to my rose. That for the second year in a row now, he's going to be planning our family spring break trip. So I don't know where it is. I'm excited.
Me either.
I think I'm responsible for grabbing us some passports because me and him and our older two, they're expired. My youngest has never had a passport in her 6 years of life. So, you know, we're going to break her out of the country for the first time, possibly. I don't know, because I don't think he knows where it is. But I am a little nervous about going overseas because what if COVID restrictions change? But I kind of think people are just over COVID restrictions. So, like, it'll be fine. We can get back in. So that's your rose.
You may not be getting back in if you don't stop coughing. All right. Can we bring in Adi to teach us something now?
Your thorn. Okay, let me think.
I thought you already thorned me. You just brought back the thorn from last week. That was it.
No, that wasn't it. I have a thorn for you. I actually think I might have two. Honestly, can't. Oh, here's one for you. Oh, that you don't let me kiss you on the face just because I have a cold. That really bothers me, but gosh, whatever.
Sorry,
but the other one is that you really tried to give our six-year-old like a sex ed lesson the other night.
I didn't. She said something ridiculous, and I thought that it
I know, but then you just say, okay, Emmy, no. So Emerson came in and started saying, I don't remember how it started. Dominique has candles in the basement where he watches football games, and he was watching football games, and maybe the candle was just lit or blown out or something, and Emerson starts saying, like, are you a virgin, Mommy? Daddy's not a virgin. And I'm like, oh, he's not. And I'm like, huh, though? I'm very confused. And then she's like, and I was thinking, because she had been to Sunday school, so I was like, I guess they talked about Mary, like, being a virgin. And then she was like, Avery's a virgin. Avery's our 12-year-old. Me and Deck, our 9-year-old and her, we're not virgins. I was like, whoa, what is a virgin, Emmy? And she said it was somebody who doesn't like candles. But I think before she said that, Dominic was like, do you know what a virgin is? And we assumed she was talking, like, learned about Mary. And he was like, do you know where babies come from? And I was like, okay. And she was like, Mommy's waist. And I was like, Dominic, please. She's like, no. Dominic hates when children say that babies come from tummies. He has to tell them it's a uterus.
Not because they say stomach.
They say stomach. It does, like, your food goes in your stomach. No babies in your stomach. Like, if you say midsection, abdomen, I'm good. Uterus, yes. Let's be anatomically correct. But, like, stomach, no. Food goes in stomach. I don't want my baby walk around like, you have a baby in your tummy. And then she was talking about a virgin is someone who's never lit a candle. So I asked her.
Apparently that's something from Hocus Pocus. And he tried to keep the I was like, okay, cool. No, we've all lit candles. And also, that's not what a virgin is, but move on. But he really tried to get into the lesson. Some lessons we just don't need to have yet. Like a 12-year-old, one thing, but a 6-year-old who would then go tell her classmates, unnecessary.
I mean, they need to know too anyway. As far as candle lighting goes, I'm an expert. Adi, come teach us something.
Anything. Rescue us.
I don't know if I can come after that. I mean, you're just teaching sex ed to everybody.
I mean, you know, I just don't like, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I feel like I don't need to lie to her. Like, whatever. She's six. She's, you go walk around talking about where six. Do babies come from?
No, you can say you're, that's not what
I would love
is.
For her to correct an adult at that age.
Exactly.
Excuse me. It's the uterus.
You're damn right. That's what I aspire to is my children. When someone comes over, a grown person is uncomfortable talking about this. Like it's sex. There's no reason for us to act all weird about it. No reason to make them act all weird about it. But I'm with you. She wasn't asking about it, so we didn't have to have that conversation. So maybe I should not charge through to have the conversation. But what I'm not going to do. Point. Yeah, I know. And that's why I did. If I would have kept pushing if it were something that mattered. But like if they're asking about sex, then we're going to talk about it. We're not going to be like, oh, the stork magic. Also,
when you guys were young, were you guys thinking it was a stork? I never had that experience because I had like a little brother.
Yeah,
when I was little.
Yeah.
So
my mom had, I had a bunch of your little siblings.
No, yeah,
I
yeah.
Pregnant. Well, I had an older brother, so like he told me everything I needed to know and showed me all the videos sure I needed to see well before I needed to see them.
And now he wants to pay it forward to Emerson.
I should have everyone know that Adi has the best hair we've ever seen. So I've decided that, yeah, break it out. Let it down. You got to let it down and teach us about it, how you take care of it. Oh, my gosh. I got questions about myself. Oh, my. Ashley. I mean, I might have to leave you.
I know.
Oh, gosh. This is special for the YouTube audience. If you're listening on a podcast, yeah. You will not appreciate
it. It's like real sexy.
Yeah. It is very, very sexy. You need a reality show.
I'm sure Ashley knows, but like after day 2 and 3 is the best day after you've washed your hair.
Not the natural day 12, oils. Wherever I am.
It's
real bad.
I've gotten there before because just I didn't have access to be able to wash my hair.
Oh, not because you do have plumbing, but you have a cold to refuse to wash your hair because that would make you colder.
Yeah. But I'm actually in the sense of like hygiene and the smell, and obviously your hair looks really oily. You probably want to wash it, right? But I've always been told the less you wash, the healthier.
Yes, me too.
Right? So if you can like maintain it somehow, then that's actually really healthy for your hair. I do like every 4 to 5 days.
Dirty.
Okay.
Hair.
I put oil in my hair. Like I always hear people say like hair gets oily, but I'm like, I want my hair to be more oily because my hair is dry. So yeah. So that for me, I'm like, well, if I'm only washing my hair when it gets too oily, Evan, I ain't never gonna wash it. I wash it though sometimes anyway, just because. Sometimes.
I was raised the same way. Like I, as a kid, even my grandmother was always like, we have this. So my dad's family's from Bangladesh, so we have like coconut oil, but this specific brand called Parachute that every Bengali person knows.
Okay.
And so as a kid, always you rub the scalp, and if your hair does get long, then it's like your ends. And so I right tend Amazon. To. It's like a blue bottle, like you see it
on Amazon looking for it.
Yeah, it's like nostalgia. But at least every third day before I wash, I'll oil and then braid, and then the next day wash it.
What's your Instagram?
So you're four. So you wash it every four. You said that 4 to 5 days.
Yeah, about every 4 to 5 days.
Put it out there. I mean,
it's a Bhaga Khan, Bhagha.Khan.
All right. In preparation, he's a Patriots fan, so
he does some do like hair stuff on his Instagram too. Yeah. Your hair is magnificent. I feel like I need to buy some of that stuff. Maybe it'll help me out. Maybe I thought also you made
some of his hair. You gotta buy some.
I used to live in New York. I lived in Harlem for like a hot minute, and all the time getting offered. The highest offer I got was $2,500.
I was going to buy your hair off you for $2,500. Yeah,
because it's virgin Indian hair, basically.
What does virgin hair mean? You've never lit a candle with it?
It's never been colored, never been touched, nothing.
Oh,
this okay. grow, I've obviously trimmed it, but this specific grow is like 10 years old.
Wow.
And so, especially back when I was living, maybe this is when it was like 5 or 6 years, like 2015, 16, I'd be in Harlem and people were offering me money all the time. And I was just like, I started to get worried that someone was going to actually cut it. I'm not joking. Like, that shit's rude. Like, I was like so paranoid because I always used to keep it tied up. I'd be like walking to the gym or something, watching my back because I wasn't sure. Like, you know, oh,
gosh,
get jumped for my hair.
Oh, or
when I was in Chelsea, I'd have a bunch of people always telling me, like, oh, you need to take care of your hair. But like New York is like hardcore about hair. LA, I don't feel that type of pressure. But when I was in New York, I was on top of my hair so hard. Like,
what more could you do to it than what you do now?
Just pay more attention. Like I'm only checking the ends. Because, and the big thing too, I always get is people want to touch it. And they won't ask. I'm not like the biggest.
Play that song on song. Don't touch my hair.
Yeah.
That needs to be your.
I used to play that salon song all the time in my head because it's, you know, and it's always like white men and women. And it used to happen in clubs all the time. Like, I'd just be like, I'm not a big person. I'm like 5'7".
Really? You look so tall to me
I know,
on Instagram.
I always disappoint everybody. I remember
I would have guessed you were like 6'4".
Whenever I meet up with everybody at work, like they're like, dude, we thought you were like 6 feet. I'm not. I stand
Why
tall.
Do you look so posture. Tall?
Good posture. My
you have
dad,
tall guy energy.
Confident. Yeah, he's confident. Yeah.
Yeah, I got Leo rising. So, you know.
Okay, I'm gonna sit up straight. Do I look taller?
Oh man.
Yeah, you just gotta yeah. But so basically it's just keeping, I guess, like clean, but at the end of the day, you don't want to dry it out either.
Now, does everyone in your family just have hair like that, though?
My sisters, I got the best hair, I think, out of my siblings. So I'm
gonna say so. My brother got the best hair out of his siblings too.
that's an
it's all girls
in
him. It's so pretty.
It's so
I'm
mean,
the eldest, man. But my brother and sister are already graying. Like my sister's
already gray.
Yeah, or graying. Yeah, pretty hard. My sister's got like big ass rogue streak.
Okay.
Well, although Dominique saw some gray hair the other day that he said did not. I'm not going to say who because we don't want to be rude to people. But he saw some gray hair on a coach the other day who, for the first time, he thought
patchy.
It didn't look nice.
It
so.
Was patchy. I didn't like the patchy. Like if you mix in salt and pepper, that's fine. Or you go all ice white, I'm with you. But when it's like a splotch of gray and then the rest of it's black, it just looked weird to me, like a continent. It is,
oh,
I don't know,
people
I didn't
find
it.
That sexy. That's what I mean by the rogue streak. Like, especially if you
no,
like
no, I, it wasn't like the rogue streak. So it was like,
oh, it was just a patch. Like,
yeah, it was like a, he had short hair. It was like
yeah, yeah,
short. And so just like a circle right here, a circle right there. And it was like all white in that circle and then black everywhere else. And it just looked like a globe. And I was like, nah, we can't do that.
He's got
I'm
going to
just dye it all
the way
white. Yeah, just go ahead and white it
so
out.
So if my hair comes in like that, are you going to be mad if I dye it dark?
It can't come in like that because your hair is so long. It would just be streaks like rogue, which is I'm fine with that.
It's not coming in at all because every time I see some, it's like it is coming in. I just pull it. And then I have little short gray hairs, which then like stick up inevitably anytime I try to like put my hair back or
aren't
straighten it.
Aren't you worried more will grow? We used to be told if you like pull one.
That's gotta be fake.
Yeah, that seems like a wives' tale.
I've decided that's fake. Yeah. But I don't know that. But I also, Dominique, have you noticed I've been taking vitamins recently?
No,
my liquid
vitamins. I saw that. I didn't know what that was for. What is that nonsense?
Because I saw it advertised on Instagram, and they said after 3 bottles, her gray hair started being black again. I said, "Run me that vitamin."
That sounds stupid. So stupid.
Well, I do. I do take. So I take a lot of supplements. That's one thing I do.
And you take what?
A lot of supplements, and then for hair specifically, though, I know biotin. iron and D3 are so important.
It doesn't have any of those in it. No, it has a lot of things though. And it was like, these things are necessary. What we found is people with gray deficiency with these vitamin deficiencies are more likely to have gray hair. So that's not going to be my problem.
I will not have this. I don't have enough gray hair.
Fox, are you ever worried about, do you have gray in your beard yet?
Yeah, I got a little bit. Yeah, I got a little bit. Not enough. I need some more gray. It's coming eventually. I'm sick of Ashley and these vitamin drinks.
Vitamin A, vitamin D3, omega fatty acids. The thing is, they're all vitamins that I've heard people say I should take anyway. So
yeah, you should take it and sound like a fun eat healthy, plan. Nutritious at the same time. But I
so
think
you
stress,
feel like eating healthy and nutritious is going to help me have less gray hair?
Yeah, and I think stress management, because I had gray hair when I was in grad school, and then once I left, I haven't had another gray hair. And there was like a little bit of like prickly for a second. And then the minute I got out of that stressful, really? Horrible situation.
You were taking Mary Ruth's vitamins, weren't you?
I'm actually.
I know your secret. Don't lie. Don't lie. Call Brian Daboll and figure out how to cover this situation so I can reduce my stress. That is where I was.
Brought it full circle.
Thank you. Look at you. Such a great football mind. Can we wrap it up now, or are you guys still, if this feels like a personal conversation now, you guys want to chat about vitamins?
It has long been a personal
let everybody
Dominique,
go.
No offense, but every time I come on here, it is a personal conversation.
That's fair. It's normally, it's the point
the people
is
people love it though. The people love it. The comments are hilarious. You guys are
the personal,
I always tell you guys.
Yeah, I don't read comments, and Ashley shouldn't. I sure hope she doesn't, but I know she probably does. All right. Appreciate you, Adi. You're the man. Thanks for joining and helping us out.
Thank you. I'm going to get my hair like
protect
yours.
Protect that hair.
Keep scissors far away. That's what I say.
Thank you, Christina Buswell and Sarah Abbott. Also, Charlie, you're the man. All right. See you guys on Thursday.
Take care.
See you guys next Tuesday.
Bye.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.